This is Treat You Better by the Australian electronic dance trio Rufus Du Sol. They're on a world tour promoting their third album, Solace, after their first two albums rose to the top of the Australian charts. I saw them at Coachella in California this year, and I'm glad to welcome them now to Here and Now. Tyrone Lindqvist, John George, and James Hunt join us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
So let's talk about how you do what you do, or what do you think that you're bringing to this kind of music that other people are not? Because one of the things that I hear when I listen, and I'll put this to you, Tyrone, is the emotion in your voice, whether you want to be happy or be sad or whatever emotion as a listener that you're feeling at that moment, I can hear it in your voice and it translates through the music. So tell me about that and that part of what you're doing.
I wouldn't consider myself much of a singer, really. I think we tend to lean towards like a vulnerable, relaxed tone that isn't pushed too much. I'm not really sure how to put it, but it feels probably similar to like an actor on screen not giving a lot, just, you know, getting to see the actor on the screen, getting to see their face, not do a whole lot of things. The audience gets to interpret a certain amount of emotion from them. I feel like it's similar in the way that I sing. Like, it isn't too on the nose. And I think it allows for the listener to just interpret a little bit of what the song is meaning.
Please don't forget who I am when I'm gone. I hope that you remember me.
A lot of people have said that your latest album is darker. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess we do agree with that. And that wasn't really like a thing that we set out to do when we started writing the record. But I think having written the first two records, having a little bit more experience under our belt as producers and songwriters, initially, you know, maybe we had a better ability to capture certain moods, but also the environment we were writing in. You know, we'd set up the studio in Venice in California, where the studio was attached to the house we were living in. So it was a really fun time. We'd set up this beautiful escapist wonderland to write in.
Yeah, you had a shaman come over, right, and set it up for you.
Yes, the infamous shaman. We did have a friend of ours who came in and imbued the studio with these creative kind of little, like, one corner would be the underwater corner, so there were seashells in there. There was a sort of outer space bit where he put fairy lights up. And initially it was like, oh, this is pretty funny, but it actually did transport the space into a little bit more of this escapist, you know, realm where you'd walk in and instantly be transported. And we were doing that from night to night. We were, you know, allowed to transport ourselves and write until the early morning. But I think the ability to keep going without limits, definitely, you know, at times we found ourselves in some darker spots. You know, it was a little bit unhealthy at times, but also it was one of the most fun times we've had writing. So I think the spectrum of those emotions brought out some of that darkness, and we allowed that and let it breathe, I guess.
So give me your everything.
I want to ask you about the song Eyes, which you wrote during a retreat at Joshua Tree National Park in California, as I understand it. What was the process of writing that, and what were you trying to say with that song?
That trip to Joshua Tree was like a lyric writing trip. And we went, and we had like 3 days. We wrote a song. We wrote Lost in My Mind in like a day.
Wow.
And we wrote all the lyrics of Eyes there. And it was such a magical place to do it. It's like there's no people, no cars. You're just kind of in the middle of nowhere under the stars. And it really was, it made writing lyrics fun and very easy for us.
Well, and it sounds like even when you're in your home base of Los Angeles, you're able to kind of remove yourself from the world around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've always played with that idea of escapism when we write. Losing ourselves in the songs, and we often do that in the studio.
I have to ask you about that because I've been listening to a lot of your music, especially since I saw you, And the song that I have gravitated toward the most is called Inner Bloom, which is like 9 minutes long, and it does so many things. And I wonder, because I've seen that you've talked about this song as being the kind of pinnacle so far of what you've written. What is it about Inner Bloom? What were you trying to do there?
Well, I think one of the beautiful things about the writing process is that every now and then we find ourselves with a song that just kind of presents itself and unfurls before you. And with Inner Bloom, that was one that just happened so sequentially and naturally, and we didn't overthink anything or, you know, reimagine anything. Even in terms of some of the vocal takes, we tried to re-record or sort of perfect them, but we ended up using these initial takes that had a little bit of, you know, raw emotion. And so that was just a really beautiful experience for us.
Well, I want to listen to a little bit because there's a part of it that I just love. Let's listen to this part here where the song just comes to a stop. So it sort of slows down there to a stop, and then it restarts itself up again. Here it is. Tell me about that.
I guess the Pechenga Boys, like, we like referencing other artists and artists that have influenced us. And the Pechenga Boys put out a song called Time a fair few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they use that sort of trick as well, where it sort of stops at a certain moment and they hold on a chord. And you think that it's over, and then it kind of ramps back up and you get this reprise. It's kind of like a bonus track or something, but it's still the same song. And that feeling was something we knew we wanted to explore as soon as we'd made the foundation of this song, like the start.
Is it hard to convince somebody, by the way, that you should do a 9 minute and 48 second song?
We didn't have to convince anyone, really. I mean, we knew we loved the song. We were really connected with it. We knew we wanted to close the album with it. But
I think also we do get pressure sometimes to, you know, make a track like 30 seconds shorter or something for radio. But this track in particular, everyone was very quiet about the time length. They're like, yep, that's it. That's the one.
You talked about escapism there, and I just wonder, especially for our audience, which pays a lot of attention to the news in the world today, do you guys pay attention to the news?
Yeah, a lot.
Does it ever influence the music that you're doing?
Read the news today. Oh, boy.
I don't think we speak about politics or news too often. We try to, I guess, we've seen some strange opinions or heard some strange opinions from different people across America, and it doesn't really influence the music, but our moods have certainly been through the same waves of emotion that most people would be experiencing here.
But you're able to escape it all to write what you write.
Yeah, that's exactly why we do what we do. We love being able to create our own little fantasy world. The same way an author would be writing a novel or something, you can just dive back into it and forget about everything, or at least, you know, embrace some of those feelings and move forward.
Okay, so I have one more question for you, and it's kind of a silly question, but I see that you like something called Zambreros, which I guess is like an Australian Chipotle, is that right?
Yeah, it's like Australian Chipotle, and one of the signature things they do is they crush up corn chips, and you can put the crushed up corn chips in your salad or burrito, and it's a pretty hot tip.
Okay, so for each of you, if you could have a Zambreros burrito with one person, I'm going to ask each of you, who would it be with? Tyrone, I'll start with you.
Oh, maybe John Lennon.
Okay, I guess we're doing Dead or Alive here. That's fine. That's fine. No problem. John, what about you?
I think maybe Thom Yorke.
Thom Yorke from Radiohead, yeah.
From Radiohead.
You took my answer, bro.
Okay, and James, what about you?
Well, I was going to say Thom Yorke, but I guess now I'm going to say maybe Nicholas Jaar. He's one of our favorite electronic producers, and I think it'll be a really good time.
Crushed up corn chips, too.
Crushed up corn chips.
All right, good. Well, I hope that you guys, at least, except for John Lennon, obviously, you're able to actually have the Zombrero's burrito with the person of your choice. That is Rufus Du Sol. Guys, thank you so much for making the music that you make and for talking with us about it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take me to